This is part two, If Socrates Sold Lab Services, written in December of 2010. In part one of this series, we observed John, an inexperienced lab sales rep, ramble through a presentation to an office manager named Betty. While Dr. Johnson's office had no major ties of ownership or EMR connectivity, Betty did not appear the least bit interested in evaluating a different lab service. Overall, the office was satisfied with ABC Lab as their primary vendor, despite maybe a few minor inconveniences occurring infrequently. Following the bland and inept discussion with John, Betty agreed to see another lab representative called Socrates. This gentleman took a far different approach with Betty. He demonstrated his knowledge about his own lab and of the competition. Socrates was also very inquisitive, knowing that asking the right questions at the right time stands as the key to the sales process. Before he left Betty the last time, he told her he would call to set up another brief meeting. The following conversation ensues once he arrives at the office. Thanks for seeing me again, Betty. I appreciate your time.
No problem, Socrates. As usual, I have some matters I'm attending to, but I'll give you a few minutes. I'll make it clear again, we're happy with ABC Lab, but I think it's a good idea to know what else is out there in case of a major problem, which would force us to make a switch.
Indeed, that's certainly a good philosophy, Betty. The last time I was here, we talked about a couple of differences between ABC Lab and my lab. In summary, it was the fact that our lab takes a very personalized approach to customer service. Another difference is our minimal, if at all, hold times for client services. You agreed both of these attributes seem to be an improvement over your current lab.
You're right, Socrates. I feel both aspects are different than what we're used to. But as I said before, we're not looking to change labs right now because the office is basically content with ABC's service overall. I don't want to build any false hopes with you.
No, I certainly understand, and I'm not expecting anything right now. I still consider myself in the get-to-know-you stage. I need to uncover some additional points about your practice. For example, how long does ABC maintain their results in the computer before being archived?
I think it's about a month.
Have there been times when your office has had to retrieve a report older than 30 days?
On occasion, someone calls the lab and makes the request, and then the lab sends it over the fax machine. It's really no big deal.
Would you agree if it would be more convenient to get it off the computer as opposed to spending time waiting on hold to speak to somebody?
Well, sure, but we're just accustomed to handling it that way. Why do you ask? Does your lab hold results in your system longer than 30 days?
In fact, we do. We have them accessible up to a full year. All it takes is a few keystrokes to retrieve a report. Do you see it as a potential time saver for your staff and, in essence, improving your staff's productivity?
Yes, I guess that would be helpful in a small way.
I would define this as an unrecognized problem, Betty, that's now being brought to light with an unanticipated solution.
Well, you're right. I never thought of it as a problem until you described a better solution.
I'm going to put this operational advantage into my benefit bucket for later consideration. So far, my bucket contains two operational and one strategic benefit. I know you're busy, Betty, but I have one more area I'd like to investigate. How many times does your ABC courier stop by the office?
Our lab guy stops by in the early afternoon. I think it's around 1 or 1:30, and then he returns just as we're closing.
Does the courier drop off your early specimens at the lab before he comes back for the last pickup?
Gosh, I really don't know. I just assume they do. But now that you mention it, no one has ever told me if they do or not. We initially asked for a twice-a-day pickup because that's what we had with our previous lab. ABC accommodated our request.
From what I've been told from other clients in the area, the courier does not return to the lab because it's located so far away. The cost of gas, as well as the time it takes, really doesn't make it feasible. You can certainly check with your driver, but I would be surprised if he made a special trip to the lab. Assuming that he doesn't return, it really begs the question, why bother having a pickup at an earlier hour if the samples are just going to ride around in the courier's car for the rest of the afternoon?
I guess you're right. It doesn't make much sense. I'll check with our pickup person to see what happens to our specimens.
Well, this is another basic difference I'd like to point out. When I meet with prospective clients, I tell them up front when they should expect their specimens to arrive at the lab. It so happens we also offer an early pickup. But the difference is our courier for this area returns to the lab around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This means all of the specimens get processed immediately, you know, bloods and cultures, and just about everything. Tell me, Betty, do you know when the lab has preliminary culture results available?
Sure, it's the following afternoon sometime.
Has it ever caused a problem with patient care?
I guess you wouldn't call it a problem per se. It's just what we're accustomed to.
Do you think that that offers optimum patient care? I mean, in the grand scheme, Betty, isn't getting the correct antibiotic to the patient as soon as possible what the doctor would like to do?
Oh, sure. Quickly administering the right drug is ideal. Dr. Johnson is just accustomed to taking care of it later the next day.
This is where our strategic benefit of processing your samples in the afternoon comes into play. Our microbiology techs plate your cultures immediately, allowing for preliminary results much earlier than the next afternoon. This means Dr. Johnson can initiate the appropriate antibiotic sooner, providing excellent care. Do you think Dr. Johnson and your patients would appreciate that sort of benefit?
Well, I suppose so. I never really thought about being able to get prelims any sooner than we do now.
Betty, I describe this as another unrecognized problem. My other clients appreciate it when I offer this type of business insight. I want to add this benefit of earlier preliminary results to my benefit bucket. This is the kind of strategic basic difference that can really impact patient care. And speaking of which, I have another illustration of helping improve care to your patients. If one of your patients has a grossly abnormal result, say it's a proTime, when does Dr. Johnson hear from the lab?
It's the next morning.
Do you think the doctor would appreciate being notified of a critical abnormal result, such as a PTINR, as soon as possible?
Oh, absolutely. After all, a test like that can save a patient from excessive bleeding.
Well, this is the point I want to make. Because we return to the lab in the middle of the afternoon with a good portion of your specimens, we have results for the routine and important tests like proTimes and glucose, electrolytes, before you close your office for the day. This, in turn, allows us to give Dr. Johnson a chance to act on the information immediately. How do you think that would improve the doctor's patient care?
I can see how that might have an impact in certain treatment situations. I guess it's almost like having a stat test result.
I'd like to place this in the benefit bucket as well, Betty. There are additional advantages I would like to go over with you and Dr. Johnson because they involve some medical topics. Can you help me get an appointment with Dr. Johnson?
He normally doesn't see reps. Too many patients to get through each day. But let me talk to him, and I'll see if I can get an appointment for you to speak with him for a few minutes.
Now let's add some commentary notes about this interaction. Socrates interacted with Betty 18 times, and 15 of them involved a question. Some of the questions were directed at discovering an unrecognized problem. There's going to be more on that topic a little bit later. He began his introduction by summarizing the benefits of his previous call and restating Betty's agreement that they were an improvement over her current lab service. This is important because it put a positive note on the beginning of the conversation. Betty remained steadfast in her situation that she was basically happy with ABC Lab, and she was not interested in making a lab change. But Socrates continued to lower the sales defensive shield by explaining he wanted to better understand their situation, giving the impression he was not necessarily trying to sell her anything. Socrates began inquiring about the length of time ABC Lab holds results in their system before archiving. He already knew the answer from his competitive intelligence, but he did not say anything. He wanted Betty to tell him. He asked her if retaining the results up to a year was a time saver, to which she agreed. This is where he threw in the term unrecognized problem and then offered an unanticipated solution. Two very strong selling attributes. It was not an earth-shattering aha moment for Betty, but it was one more difference, making a positive impact on the entire discussion. Socrates knew his lab offered several advantages due to its proximity, as opposed to ABC Lab, who was located many miles away. Instead of blurting out his lab was closer, he aimed the conversation towards his competitor and inquired about any additional pickup times. He knew his lab was at parity of having an earlier stop, but Socrates didn't say anything about that. Instead, he honed in on another basic difference. Processing lab samples at a much earlier time of day, giving way to improved turnaround time, and thus with the benefit of improved patient care. But a very telling comment came from Betty when Socrates asked her if she was aware if her driver returned to the lab before the second pickup.
Gosh, I really don't know. I just assume they do.
Socrates jumped on that by stating he was not aware they did, based on comments of other ABC clients. This created an aha moment for Betty. He then asked the simple yet obvious question, why bother having a pickup at an earlier hour if the samples are just going to be riding around in the driver's car? This questioning, and Betty's subsequent realization, also casts somewhat of an aspersion on ABC. Why wouldn't the rep or the courier explain to them there are no benefits to making an earlier pickup? Is the only reason because they want to be competitive with the other labs? It's on the verge of making the client appear silly for having two pickups but with no resultant benefit. The credibility of Socrates is starting to build. Staying on this strategic location benefit, Socrates pointed out the fact his lab processes specimens continuously, offering better turnaround time. This especially has patient care ramifications. But Socrates does not tell Betty this. He asks her if Dr. Johnson and his patients would appreciate that kind of benefit. He talks about preliminary culture results and receiving critical test values at an earlier time than currently happening. Again, he gets Betty to acknowledge a positive statement about Socrates' lab, and this remains psychologically important. The conspicuous rule Socrates followed relates to uncovering a dormant or an unrecognized problem. It stands as a state or a source of difficulty in which the customer is not really fully aware. In essence, our astute salesperson aimed to show Betty there are differences that mean something to the practice. He explained the alternatives and better solutions compared with what the office currently receives through ABC Lab. But, and here's an important point, Socrates does not jam information down Betty's throat. He provides insight through questioning, and there is a huge difference between information and insight. Socrates has a wide range of experience with a number of customers and prospects, and he understands the problems they typically plague them that are even unbeknownst to the client. He feels Dr. Johnson's office has become complacent about their lab service. They really do not know any better because
it's just what we're accustomed to.
Socrates attempts to create the aha moment. Betty begins to take notice because, as Socrates says, it involves better patient care and improves office productivity. Two very hot topics in a doctor's office. One final point. Socrates got the sale to advance because he asked Betty to do something for him, help him get an appointment with Dr. Johnson. He knows the optimum way to create a joint venture approach is to ask the client to perform some task, however small it may be. As we saw in the first meeting, Socrates failed to do this. But like everyone, he's learning. Because Socrates deposited more advantages into the benefit bucket, Betty was more amenable to getting him in front of Dr. Johnson. We'll examine that conversation in part 3 of this series.